Well, I want to start today by talking about something that may drive us to prayer, something I don't think is godly. I want to talk about phone trees. You know the things where you press one for press two for those kinds of things? There is nothing more frustrating than trying to navigate a lengthy phone tree that makes it impossible to talk to a real person will actually listen to your problems. Just recently, I had a problem with my insulin pump, which is a pretty serious thing. So I called the helpline, and you know the drill. If you are a physician, please press 1. If you're calling to reorder supplies, press 2. And worse yet, they went into a commercial before they even got to the numbers. Hello, your call is important to us. Have you heard that we now offer XYZ, yada, yada, yada? No, I listened to all the possible options that they offered, but none of them actually matched what my issue was. So I thought I must have missed it. I listened to it again. Nope. Desperate to talk to somebody, I just pressed a random number. And lo and behold, I got a person. I explained my problem. I'm sorry, that's not my department. I'll transfer you. And you know what happened next. Nothing. Dead silence. Not even a mildly irritating hold music. Just cut off. And I had to start all over, including listening to the commercial. Because my life depends on my pump working correctly. There are times when having somebody to listen is a matter of life and death. At other times, it may not be a matter of life and death, but our happiness depends on having somebody to listen. I mean, think about some of your best friends, the kinds of people that will listen to you for hours as you talk about your deepest fears or your opinion on who makes the best fast food French fries. You know, those friends that you can talk about anything with. It's nice to have someone to talk to. Tammy and I try to walk our dog Scooby every night. And the nice thing about that is that we can't be doing anything other than walking and talking. I mean, we can't be doing chores, we can't be watching the game, we can't hush one another to hear the TV. We can't even be on our phones, at least I can't, because I can hardly walk and chew gum at the same time. I definitely can't be working the phone like some people can. No, we just walk and talk. It's the best having someone who'll listen to you. Even if the topic is one that Tammy is not all that interested in. She still listens because she loves me. One of the greatest gifts anyone can have is to have someone who will listen. That's why when somebody loses a loved one like that, it can be so devastating. Don May attended a grief group after the death of their son, and he said there's a tremendous yearning on the part of those in grief to be able to talk with their loved ones once again. That yearning drives some even to attempt seances or to go to mediums. Folks who normally wouldn't waste their time on that kind of stuff get desperate in their desire to talk to someone who's gone. My father died many years ago. He's buried down in his hometown of East Chain, which is a couple hours from here, and so we're lucky if we get there once a year to visit his grave. But there's another spot where I feel I can talk to my dad. It's out at our farm. My dad bought the farm with the intention of creating a place that would pull my brothers and I together, where we could work together, where we could spend time together. And it really didn't become that until after he died. But I'm so grateful for his foresight. After he died, we planted a tree on the farm that he'd always wanted, something that doesn't grow there naturally, an Ohio buckeye. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those. But their nuts look just like a deer's eye. Anyways, my dad wanted one. He never had one in life, but now he has one. And Tammy found a large stone on the edge of the field, and she had his name engraved into it. It's a place where I can go and talk to my dad. Now, it's not exactly like the conversations we used to have there. It is not nearly, it's not nearly that. I wish I could have a face-to-face conversation again. I'm sure the Christians that first weekend after Jesus died were wishing the same thing. If only Jesus were still there and they could talk with him like they had so often as they walked along. On the Sunday after his death, there were two grieving travelers who were walking to their home in Emmaus. Doesn't say that they're walking a dog, probably not, but they're having a conversation. They're talking to each other about everything that had happened, because what had happened was horrible. They had seen Jesus nailed to the cross and then buried in the tomb. And then a fellow traveler comes up and starts walking along with them. It's Jesus. But they don't recognize him until later. The story is found in the 24th chapter of Luke. Let's just look at it this morning. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened, about all those horrors that they'd seen, the crucifixion. When you come through something like that, it sure is nice to have someone to talk to, someone who will listen. And while they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. Now, we don't know what prevented them from recognizing that it was Jesus. I doubt if he was wearing a disguise, and I'm pretty sure he didn't look that much different than before the resurrection. So maybe it was because their grief is so great that they just weren't even thinking straight. Or maybe it was because it was so unexpected to meet Jesus there that they didn't even grasp it at first. You ever go on vacation somewhere? Maybe you're down in Florida and you run into somebody from Hastings. And at first, your mind's saying, they look kind of familiar. Even though you may see them every day back here at home, it takes a little while for suddenly you go, oh, oh, of course. Maybe that was going on. Or maybe God just did something supernatural so that they couldn't understand that it was Jesus who was with them, at least not at that time. So he said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who's unaware of the things that have taken place there over these last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" And then the risen Jesus listens to their long tale of woe. They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as the prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who'd redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and they didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they'd even seen a vision of angels who told them that he's still alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory? Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he were going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." They so much love talking with this stranger along the road. They say, "Why don't you stay a little while longer? Let's talk some more. Come to our house." So he went to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. What does that remind you of? Communion. All right. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They don't recognize that they had been walking and talking with Jesus all afternoon until he breaks the bread with them. And when he does, when they recognize that it's Jesus, they say, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?" Talking with Jesus is the best. But if Jesus is not risen, then talking to Jesus is just talking to ourselves. And talking to ourselves is a poor substitute for a conversation with someone you love. But Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. And so we know that when we pray, when we talk to him, someone will listen. We won't get some computerized phone tree. We're going to get a real living human being because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we know that he hears our prayers. And we're not just talking to ourselves. Because of the resurrection, someone will listen, and that someone is Jesus. Jesus says in John 16, verse 24, "Until now you haven't asked anything in my name, but ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Jesus says this before the resurrection, but only the resurrection makes it possible for Jesus to fulfill this promise. All of the scripture promises about prayer take on new meaning because of the resurrection. Like Jeremiah 29, 12, and 13, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts." Or 1 John 5, 15, "And if we know that he hears us, if we know that he listens, whatever he asks, we know that we have what we've asked of him." These are not the things that a dead man can do. It takes a living God. Now, I know that our conversations in prayer are not exactly the same as the conversations that those two had with Jesus as they walked along the road to Emmaus. But they had the scriptures, and we have the scriptures. And the scriptures are God's word, God's message to us. God speaks to us through the Bible. But let's face it, sometimes we are as dull-minded as those two were. We don't understand some of the things in the Bible. And we wish that Jesus were right there beside us to explain it all to us. We wish that we could talk to Jesus like those two did. And we think that if he just spelled it all out for us, that we'd understand. But it didn't work for them. So why would it be different for us? Jesus explains every prophecy about himself, from birth in Bethlehem, like talked about in Micah, to the salvation whose wounds brought us, as Isaiah says, or rising on the third day, as in Hosea. He explained it all, and they were still clueless about what God had done. They couldn't even recognize that the risen Jesus was right there walking along beside him. How often do we not recognize that the risen Jesus is walking right beside us. It's not until he offers them communion that they get it. All his words didn't speak to them in the way that that simple act did when he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. They recognized that Jesus was alive. They recognized that Jesus had been listening to them all along, that the conversation they had as they walked along was a conversation with Jesus himself, the risen Lord. As far as we know, Cleopas and his friend never again got to have a face-to-face conversation with Jesus, but they didn't need it because they knew. They knew he was risen. They knew he was alive. And that he would listen, whether walking along the road in their conversation there or wherever they lifted up prayer, that Jesus would listen. And they also knew that they could always come to communion and encounter the risen Jesus there, just as they did around the table in Emmaus when he broke the bread. I'm sure they would have loved to have had Jesus spend the night with them so they could talk late into the evening, but they didn't need to, because they knew he was just a prayer away, and he would continue to walk with them, even if they could no longer see him. My grandpa McDonough, whom I've talked about before, is another one of those people that I wish I could talk to again. He's been gone for many years, but at least he left me this book of poems that helped me connect with him. And one of the poems that he wrote reflects on the attitude of Cleopas and his friends and his friend. As their mind were so focused on the horrors of the cross that they couldn't see that the living Jesus was walking right beside them. Sometimes our minds get so focused on our troubles and on the bad news that we forget that the living Jesus calls us to walk every day with him. Here's what my grandpa wrote. It's a poem called Come Walk With Me. It was in my mind I must have crept up Golgotha's hill. The crowds were gone, the crosses bare, and all the earth was still. As I knelt there beneath the cross where my Savior's blood was shed, I felt a soft hand resting there upon my troubled head. And then I heard a gentle voice that fell upon my ear. I only come to give you hope. There's nothing you should fear. My heart then leapt within my breast. My voice was almost lost. But Jesus, don't you know you died upon this very cross? Oh, doubting child of little faith, don't you remember what I said, that I would come and walk with you? That's why my blood was shed. My hands were clinging to the cross. My eyes could hardly see. But Jesus said, don't linger there, but come and walk with me. Because of the resurrection, we can walk with the living Jesus. We can talk with him as surely as those two did on the road to Emmaus. We can have a real conversation and know that somebody is living, listening, because he is living. Because he is living, we know he listens. Alfred Ackley put that truth into a hymn that you might know. It's called He Lives. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. Because of the resurrection, because he lives, we have someone who will listen and will walk with us through life. No prayer is unheard. There is no phone tree standing between us and Jesus. We get a real live person as soon as we call, every time, because he lives. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for listening to us. Even right now, you are listening. We are so grateful. We are so grateful that there is nothing that we can't take to you. Like our dearest friends, we can share with you our deepest hurts, our fears, and also the little things of life. Whether it be what's happening this afternoon or just how we're feeling. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers and for answering every time, that there is nothing in between us and you, that you are just a prayer away. Thank you for listening, Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able, because He lives. For Cleopas and his friend, they didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't realize he was with them until he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, just as he did the disciples on the night before he went to the cross. When Jesus did that, He told us to continue to do that in remembrance of me. He gave us a sacrament. He gave us an act, a physical act we can see and touch, but so much more than that, a spiritual act in which we can connect to the living, risen Jesus. And so it may look like just a little piece of bread and a tiny little bit of juice in the cup. But through the eyes of faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can encounter Jesus here. And so we too take the bread. We give thanks to you, God. We break the bread. And then each one of us shares in the body of Christ. And so take that little piece of bread from off the bottom of the cup or anything you have at home and receive it now. The body of Christ for you. And in the meal at Emmaus, it doesn't say anything about the cup. But we know that Jesus took the cup there that Thursday night. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we remember and we celebrate and we receive Christ through the cup today. Take and drink the blood of Christ for you. Let us pray. Jesus, you know how dull-minded we can be sometimes. We read the scriptures, we don't get it. You walk beside us, we don't see it. So thank you for this tangible reminder here in this Holy Communion that you are with us. Always, and that you always listen. In your holy name, amen.